from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, we expect to hear from the mayor, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, set to join us. Waddle's off today. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll be at Navy Pier tomorrow for the Jim Irsay collection. Carmen and Yurko, noon to 2 at Navy Pier. Then Waddle, the Waddle and Sylvie show there, 2 to 6. Navy Pier. Boy, it's a busy day today. If you're just getting into your car and you're like, got to turn on Waddle and Sylvie, find out what I missed. It's a little bit of everything. Early this morning, if you haven't been on social media or paying attention to your phone, Deshaun Watson was suspended for 6 games. The league has the opportunity to appeal this to themselves, where Roger Goodell can up it. A lot of people, I think the majority of the people that I've heard, all think it's light. That's where that stands right now. As far as our football team, Ian Rappaport, Mike Garofolo had a report earlier that the Bears are taking some calls on Tevin Jenkins, which is very interesting. Cap, on his recap over the weekend, was saying that, hey, this whole thing about what he woke up with a couple of days ago is more than just the injury situation, that he hasn't been very coachable, that this coaching staff in front office may not be meshing with Tevin Jenkins. So last year's second round pick, there could be some trade talks out there. Can they still save him? Can they still make him a good player with the Bears? We will see. But as of now, they are listening. They're not denying it, or they're not saying we're not taking calls. Courtney had that earlier today as well. But the definitive report from Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofolo. Luis Robert not in the lineup today for the White Sox. Tony La Russa said that he may not play the entire Royals series. This is another very confusing situation for the Sox and one of their best players. Just when you hope they're gaining some ground here, they're 2 games out behind the Twins. Even after a really weird week last week where they had a bad loss to Colorado, they had a bad loss to Oakland, yet in the week they still gained a game. Tim Anderson suspended for 3 games. He's appealing that. But it's the second time offense that he's bumped an umpire, did it at the end of last year, had to sit out at the beginning of this year. But Luis Robert, they never really told you what was wrong with him to begin with. And then he was playing in a rehab game on Thursday. He was in the lineup in Charlotte on Friday. Then they said, we sat him because of a cold. Then he returned to Chicago, and now we're hearing he may not play the entire Royals series, and we still don't know what's going on. Also today, John Heyman reported that the White Sox placed a call about a serious trade proposal for Shohei Ohtani, whether you believe that or not. The Yankees were in on that. Padres made some calls. The White Sox were reportedly, according to Heyman, a team that made calls about Ohtani. So with Sox fans, what do you make of that? Especially when like their big move in the offseason were a couple of relievers and Josh Harrison. When you didn't have to give up anything except money for these guys. Now all of a sudden they're in the market for Shohei Ohtani.
And also a couple big trades already happening in the Major League Baseball trade deadline, which is just 24 hours away now, Sylvie. We had Josh Hader. He's headed from the Brewers to the Padres. So the Padres have given up something here, although they're still in on the Juan Soto talks. And the Yankees have acquired Frankie Montas earlier this afternoon. So a couple big names there.
And the Padres, you just keep hearing, like, the Padres have this great farm system, and they still haven't traded their best guys yet. But yet they keep trading for guys, you know, whether it was Darvish, where, you know, they gave up low-level guys and all the different moves they've made to build it. They still haven't won anything, but they are still just doing lots of stuff.
Well, and honestly, they've been resilient because the Padres have been, they're right now they're in the playoff position for that wild card spot. They haven't had Fernando Tatis Jr. all year.
Yeah.
He just took batting practice at the stadium this weekend, so he should be returning fairly soon. They trade for Josh Hader today, and they're one of the leaders in terms of all the trade rumors surrounding Juan Soto. So, yeah, the Padres seem like they're all in on everybody.
Cubs made a trade. Scott Efros was traded to the Yankees today. They did get a fairly highly regarded starter. I mean, they get an effective reliever, but as Jesse said, you know, you'll give up relievers, especially for a chance at a pitcher who's got some pretty good stuff. I think he had a 3.5 ERA in AAA for the Yankees. And they're in win now mode, and so the Cubs are willing to take a chance there. And I don't blame them, but there still have not been. It's 24 hours, just a little less now. 5 o'clock tomorrow, so we're at 5:05 right now is the trade deadline. And then I'm almost positive that Contreras and Happ and David Robertson and Givens are all going to be dealt. Am I missing anybody else? They've already made, what, 3 trades?
Yes, 3, you know, we'll call them minor deals because all the names you just listed off, I think, are considered much bigger names. And honestly, the Juan Soto, you know, hang-up has been part of the reason why Wilson Contreras has not been moved yet, because a lot of people think the Padres could be the team that lands Wilson Contreras if they don't get Juan Soto. So I think the Cubs are kind of laying in the weeds, waiting to see that one play out.
What do you think's going to happen? Do you think in the end they're going to say that it was too complicated, he's too good of a player, we got to reset and talk in the offseason when we can engage everybody and not enough time to get a complicated deal done? Or do you believe that they will be able to get this done by tomorrow at this time?
I think that when you've gone this far, I think the Nationals are going to trade Juan Soto. Whether it's the Dodgers, the Padres, or the Cardinals, I think he'll be in one of those cities at the end of the deadline.
Cubs, it will be another inflection point in the Cubs rebuild if the Cardinals get him.
Yeah, I mean, boy, if you put him in the middle of their lineup with already Arenado and Goldschmidt, now they don't have much pitching, but it would, I think if you're a Cubs fan, like, that would be very, very aggravating.
Those were all trades, weren't they? Did they traded for Goldschmidt, they traded for Arenado, and then they would trade for Soto. It's crazy.
And remember this, the weird thing too was, look, the Cardinals, they had the farm system where they could go ahead and get Arenado. And also remember, the Rockies paid off some of Arenado's contract in order to get the Cardinals to take him.
Remember when the rumors were going on with Chris Bryant for Arenado?
Sure.
And Chris Bryant, sure enough, ended up in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
But, the Cubs ended up trading him to the Giants. Then he goes to free agency, and the Rockies end up signing him. Did you mention Frankie Montas, too, to the Yankees?
I did, yeah. Okay, he was probably the last big, after Luis Castillo got traded over the weekend, he was the other big, you know, starting pitcher that was available on the trade market. So I'd say the biggest arms have been taken off the board, at least the guys who are expected to be traded at this deadline.
Yeah, so we're waiting for Lori Lightfoot to give us a call. If you want to weigh in before Black and Abdallah come into Crosstalk, we've got Sox tonight, Sox and Royals. See if they could continue to build on these last 2 wins here.
They're rolling, buddy. You called it. I'm with you now. The Sox, they're turning things around.
They gained a game in the week. That's all. Look, and they're it's 2 games now where, you know, 2 games, you could be in first place in 3 games from now, the way things go. You know what I mean?
Look out. Don't let us get hot, buddy.
But they just do enough to piss you off. If you're a Sox fan, where you're like, oh, these guys are just driving me crazy. Like Friday, I tweeted out, I want to see a 7-game series between the 2004 Cubs and the 2022 White Sox. Because I was reminiscing with these guys. My least favorite team that I cheer for of my life is the 2004 Cubs. Dusty Baker enabled them. They were arguing with Steve Stone and Chip Carey. That team was loaded. They came off the 0-3 heartbreak of the Bartman game and then losing game 7 to the Marlins, a year they should have won. And instead of woe is me, they reloaded. They replaced Eric Karros with an in-his-prime Derek Lee. They replaced Damian Miller with Michael Barrett. They added Greg Maddux, a Hall of Famer, who was your 5th starter. And then they ultimately, at shortstop, landed Nomar Garciaparra at the trade deadline in 2004. That team should have won it all. And all they did that year was piss me off. It ended with heartbreak at the end of the year. They lost a walk-off game to the Mets for the wild card. Sammy Sosa ends up leaving like the last game at Wrigley Field before they told him he could leave. They end up trading him. That whole team was unlikable. And I was saying that I would like to see the series between the 04 Cubs and the 2022 White Sox.
You know what the link is there? Stoney.
Stoney, for sure. Well, then you get, and so the you have Dusty Baker managing for the Cubs against Tony La Russa managing for the Sox. Those guys hate each other to begin with. They've managed against each other enough. And then you got Stoney doing the games. It's fantastic. The most unlikable baseball team in the history of Chicago. Now, look, they could turn things around and you could love them in 2 months. Who knows? But the way this whole season has gone, from base running errors to mental errors in the field to guys getting thrown out to losing to bad teams, it has just been one of those stories of underachievement the whole year.
I'm really interested to see what the Sox do too at this point, because they've got a few, you know, few holes right now that they need to get after, not just relief pitching, but also a left-handed power hitter. That would be nice. So,
are you buying the Jack Peterson rumors again?
I think it's always a possibility. They've always been interested in him. I think that's somebody who they might be interested in. We'll see in about 24 hours from now.
And the Giants are selling, and Rodon, they may be selling too. All right, let's go to the mayor of Chicago right now. Lori Lightfoot has been on our show before, taking the time out of her busy schedule to join us right now, the Waddle and Sylvie Show with Waddle Out. Lori, how you feeling today? How's everything going?
I'm good, Sylvie. How are you?
I'm great. First of all, how was Lollapalooza, and can you tell us about the deal that you've extended with Lollapalooza?
Look, I think all things considered, it was a pretty phenomenal weekend. You obviously couldn't ask for better weather. I've been to Lolla back in the day when it was broiling hot, or when they were worried about a torrential downpour. The weather was perfect. I think the fans had a phenomenal time. I was there last night. Mm-hmm. I will just say the J-Hope Army was well represented, and Green Day fans, they put on a great show. So I think it started strong and ended strong.
And then it seems like it's worked out with a new agreement in place for future years for Chicago?
Correct. You know, we start with a base with Lolla, and then, frankly, when they succeed, we succeed, meaning we get increased revenues when they make more money. So I think it's a very good deal. We spent a lot of time making sure that we were thinking through all the finer points and, frankly, really learning a lot from our shared experience and individual experience with the last contract. But I think this really inures to the benefit of the city. If the past is prologue, this 10-year renewal could mean $4 billion and financial impact to the city.
Wow. Mayor Lori Lightfoot joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. You know the reason why we call you, why we ask for you, is because of the Soldier Field plans being dome ready. What was the reaction overall? Did you like the reaction that you got from your press conferences and from all the mock-ups?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the response has been overwhelmingly positive. And obviously, keep in mind that this is in the context of a larger plan for reimagining the museum campus. But I like the options. You know, I've been thinking about this for quite some time, both before and all the conversation around the Bears. We just need to do a better job of making Soldier Field a year-round destination. And I think one of the three options gives us, all of those three options really gives us that tremendous opportunity. But Soldier Field remains, as we saw this weekend from Lolla, an incredibly sought-after venue for sports, for music, and for other forms of entertainment. And we've got to maximize the visitor and customer experience. There's a lot of untapped potential that isn't captured in the current configuration of Soldier Field. So I look forward to moving ahead. Meanwhile, we're going to start executing as soon as we possibly can on the larger plan to really activate the entirety of the museum campus. Given what an iconic jewel the museum campus is overall, it shouldn't require people to have a high-priced ticket to be able to go to that campus and really enjoy it. And so I think the recommendations of the working group were fantastic. We had, I think, some of the most creative minds in Chicago that were part of that effort, and I look forward to executing on the recommendation.
Mayor Lightfoot, the one thing that drives me crazy as a guy who has lived in the city for 20 years and has gone to a lot of Bears games is the accessibility. While Dome Ready is cool and I like, but whether I'm leaving from State Lake to get off at 18th Street, whether I'm going Columbus or I'm going Lakeshore Drive, it could take me 45 minutes from the city, whether it's from Ukrainian Village, whether it's getting out of there and making people go south if they want to go north, whether it's pedestrians who have to be weaved through a maze to walk a few blocks to get to the L. How are you going to fix all of that?
Well, one of the reasons why we had a lot of transportation experts at the table as part of the working group was exactly that. As somebody who's been going to Bears games and other events at Soldier Field for 30 years, I agree with you 1,000%. It is a daunting experience just to get in the place where you got to make sure that you leave hours beforehand to be there by kickoff. That doesn't make any sense. So we are working on very specific plans to minimize the transportation hassle that visitors have. Those plans aren't fully baked yet, but it is a big point of focus. There was a subcommittee of the working group that specifically focused on enhancing the ability to get in and out of Soldier Field in a timely fashion, because I'm right there with you, man. It's a hassle right now, and we've got to change that.
You mentioned in your press conference that you can't speak a lot to the Bears right now because of their agreement with Arlington Heights. If they would move to finalize this deal and there's no way you can end up selling them on this, would you still proceed with these plans?
So, look, I think that there's an absolutely compelling financial reason for the Bears to stay at Soldier Field. When you think about what the recent prices have been from brand-new stadiums, whether it's SoFi or the stadium in Las Vegas, you're talking about, at minimum, right now in today's dollars, a $4 billion tag. That's a lot of money. And you have to wonder whether or not the current Bears organization even has the resources to pull that kind of financing together. And as you know, there's not a huge appetite for a fully financed or even majority financed public option. I think that the Bears have to look at this. I know that they, frankly, are looking at it seriously. We're going to be talking to the NFL as well. But look, if they stay or they go, and I hope that they stay, and we're doing everything we can to keep them. As I said, Soldier Field remains a very sought-after venue. And look, the lawyer in me says, you got to have plan B, plan C. We have other options. We're talking to other potential long-term tenants. But again, our first priority is to keep the Bears in Soldier Field.
What would you say to me if I counter you saying that, hey, it's going to be $4 or $5 billion for the Bears? We don't know even if the Bears have that money. What if I say, well, how are you going to pay for this as a city? Does the city have this money?
Well, I think that there's a lot of, again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I certainly don't want to negotiate in public, but our finance team has been scrubbing these numbers for months now, and I think there's a range of options that we can offer the Bears today that will get them the resources that they need. Obviously, they want to maximize revenues. They want to be at a tier one level in NFL parlance to make sure that they're maximizing the financial opportunities for the stadium. I think we can get them there, but we got to have a willing partner.
Would you ever be willing to sell Soldier Field to the Bears?
Look, that's not something that we have considered. Obviously, the Soldier Field is an icon for the city, but I think there's a way that we can get them to the level that they want without having to take that extreme measure of selling it. Some people obviously said, just sell it to them, be done with it. I don't think that that's a smart play for the city and our taxpayers in the long term, but we can get them to the economic place that they want to get to in a lot of other ways.
Even though Pat Quinn has stepped up and he said he wants to block naming right. You laughed.
Okay,
so explain why I'm not in the political circles here. And because he says you cannot sell naming rights because of the War Memorial for World War One veterans that Soldier Field stands for.
Look, obviously, we have looked at all of the legal constraints on doing anything, either in Soldier Field or the entire museum campus. This guy shot out of a cannon. We're going to block it without even really looking and knowing the particulars. Typical par for the course for Pat Quinn. We're very well aware of what our rights and constraints are. I think there's a lot of other ways in which we can, as I said, get to the dollar amount and revenue that the Bears are looking for. I'm not worried about what some gadfly is talking about.
All right. This is a lot of what Waddle and I talk about. We want to know this, and you mentioned talking to the NFL. Is there any possibility that the Bears do leave, that Chicago can get a second NFL team?
Well, look, again, my primary focus is on keeping the team that we have. But you're aware there are cities across the country that have two NFL teams. The two largest markets in the TV markets in the country, New York and L.A., both have two NFL teams. We're the third largest market in the country. So I don't think that's what the outside of the realm of possibility. But as I said, there's a number of other options that we are also pursuing.
So because some people have said, Mayor Lightfoot, that the Bears have an opportunity to block a second team. Do you know if that's still the case?
You know, we've heard that and we're looking at that. But, you know, my hope that if the Bears decide, which I think would be the wrong decision, to leave Chicago, don't burn the bridge down on your way out.
I've got to ask you, so about a year ago, and we've mentioned this on the show as well, you came out blazing on the Bears as a – and I get it because we're all frustrated at the Bears. And you told them in a statement, and like most Bears fans, we want the organization to focus on putting a winning team on the field, beating the Packers finally, and being relevant part of past October. Everything else is noise. Do you regret not being more serious about this earlier?
No, I was serious about it then. But I also think that that's true. You know this as well as I do, how the economics of sports work. If you don't have a winning product on the field, you can't put butts in seats. It's as simple as that. The economics tell it. And I thought it was strange that they made the announcement when they made it at a time when the team was really struggling on the field. That just didn't make any sense to me. That's obviously their judgment as to the timing, the content of what they say. But Bears fans are hungry for a winning team, a great team, a team with a great quarterback, a good line, the kind of defense that Chicago historically has been known for. We want to be relevant. We want to be a playoff contending team. And I say we, and I'm channeling, I think, the sentiment of Bears sports fans for a long time. We don't want to be owned by the Packers or any other team in our division or any other team in the NFL. We want to be the team that historically has pounded other teams into the turf and made a strong statement every single time we took the field. You know, that's what we as fans want. And when you have that kind of winning success on the field, the financial success follows.
I get it, and I'm as frustrated as anybody, and I bitch and moan about it on the radio every single day. Waddle gets tired of hearing it. But what if someone would say to you, I would think you would be offended, Mayor Lightfoot, if someone would say to you, look, we got crime issues, we've got teaching issues, we've got other things to worry about except the team. Isn't that what you're basically telling the Bears? Win first, then worry about your home? Wouldn't that be like me telling you, hey, worry about the crime, worry about our teachers, and then worry about sports?
No, I think you got to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. And believe me, Sylvie, people lob those bombs my direction every single day. It goes with the territory. When you are a leader, you have to be able to play a multi-dimensional game of chess. And it's the same thing with any kind of business. And obviously, the Bears are business. They're a unique and I think special kind of business, but they're business bottom line. And so it's hard to get the fan base and taxpayers to rally around a cause when they're not feeling like the product on the field is as strong as possible. I think there's nothing but upside for the Bears to stay in the city of Chicago, and we are willing, obviously, to partner with them to get them to the revenue level that they want, and frankly, that'll be in the best interest of our taxpayers. But we also have to have a product on the field that makes people proud, that makes people really enthusiastic to be Bears fans, not long-suffering, but feeling like the team is headed in the right direction.
Let me ask you about Dome Ready, because I love the phrase. I want to make T-shirts. I just think it's a good general state of mind to be Dome Ready. But what does Dome Ready mean, Mayor Lightfoot, as far as going halfway? I looked at the plans. What would putting up the columns be without the dome? Why do it halfway?
Well, look, it really comes down to the matter of who is the tenant and what are their specific needs and what is their ability to partner with us on the finances that are going to be necessary to put a dome on Soldier Field. That's a big, costly deal. And again, with the right anchor tenant, we're absolutely willing to do what's necessary to engage stakeholders and talk about what the finances associated with that are. But we also feel like we ought to preserve our options. And Dome Ready means making sure that the columns support is there to support a dome down the road in the event that the primary tenant isn't interested in pursuing a dome.
Is there any thought in your mind, Mayor Lightfoot, about if the Bears do leave, just keeping it as is and signing up as much college football as possible and making the most money the city can make?
Well, you know, obviously there was a college football game last fall between Wisconsin and Notre Dame that brought in huge amounts of interest. And I think not only great revenue for the Park District, but the larger financial impact on the city with hotel rooms, restaurants. I mean, the city was alive. I was getting, I happened to actually be out of town that weekend on a family matter, but I was getting text messages, phone messages from people who are here in Chicago, but also folks that came in from out of town that just had a phenomenal time. I think that weekend hasn't gone unnoticed by others, and particularly the Big Ten. This is a great college football town. There's tons of alumni that are here in Chicago and Chicagoland. So I think the opportunities there are really important. And now with the Big Ten deciding that it's going to be from sea to shining sea, I think the possibilities of bringing in those kind of high-profile games that generate a lot of fan interest and generate a lot of TV and other revenue, there's a lot of upside there.
All right. As we let you go, what's the next step here, Mayor Lightfoot?
Well, I think there's a lot more conversations that we have to have, both at the NFL level and others who are interested in NFL football here in Chicago. But the immediate next step is really executing on the larger vision for changing the topography of the museum campus and really making it an open and welcoming place, regardless of whether or not you've got a ticket to go into one of our great museums. We want to make this a year-round venue. You asked me a second part of the last question. There's a lot of unused space within Soldier Field that we can capture to not only enhance the fan experience, but enhance revenues. And I think we do that no matter what the decision is that the Bears make.
Yep. We don't always agree, but I do appreciate you calling and talking to us about that, informing our fans what you're thinking. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sylvie. Take care.
There you go. There's Mayor Lightfoot, Lori Lightfoot. I don't think when you're trying to be a partner with a team that you continually rip the. I get that the winning hasn't been there. I couldn't believe that you continued to rip the product on the field. I don't like when people take shots at Chicago, but You know, that's like saying, hey, you can only focus on this or you can only focus on that. Like she said, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. Well, so can the Bears. The Bears can, they're trying to win as much, you know, as much as they frustrate us, but they're trying to do their thing.
No, to your point there, Sylvie, you have to ask in this situation, which party is a little bit more desperate? And if Chicago truly wants to retain the Bears, I'm sorry, the Bears have an option that looks pretty good to them right now, and I think you probably want to be in a wooing situation, right? Like, I think the city should try, and if they really want to keep the Bears in Soldier Field, they should be saying, hey, what can we do to make this the perfect location for you guys to stay?
Right.
Because the Bears have options. I'm not sure, as much as Mayor Lightfoot wants to tell us that a second team in Chicago is possible, I think there's more red tape for them to cut through as opposed to the Bears.
Or homework that hasn't been done yet. Like she said, she still doesn't know. There are a lot of things they don't know about it. And I just think this is too little too late. 312-332-3776. What stood out to you in the conversation with Mayor Lori Lightfoot? 312-332-3776 is the phone number.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so interesting stuff with the mayor. They won't sell Soldier to the Bears. It sounds like that's a non-starter. I was talking to Meller about this, and I did bring it back to her. She threw a lot of stuff at the Bears. And when she said that, hey, how are they going to get their $4 or $5 billion? It's not like they got it. And I said to her, how are you getting $2.2 billion? Do we have it? I mean, the city doesn't have it. It's not for me to yell at her or anything. All I could do is ask the questions. But, you know, I just I feel like this is a flawed plan. It's nothing personal. This is, I think, too little, too late. And like I've been through many times, after someone's broken up with me, I try to change, but I don't go back at them then and say, I'm like, please take me back. I don't say, you know what? You still fart in bed all night, or you still do this all the time in the bathroom. She was still telling the Bears that they suck.
Listen, you've put on 20 pounds since we got together. How about you work on that?
I found it amazing that in her way of still trying to court the Bears and engage with the Bears, she goes, and by the way, you guys suck.
I'm telling you, though, I'm wrapping my head more and more around the, like, we're so focused on the Bears. Little divorce for both parties. Go to Arlington Heights, Bears. You pursue that marriage. Let's get a second team in here.
Yeah, I mean, if they've got, why would the Bears ever approve that? Even if they are in Arlington Heights, why would they ever want a second team in the Chicago market if they've got that veto market, the veto power?
You're right. They would not want that at all. But I believe if the NFL as an entity wants a team in downtown Chicago, they would make the Bears, they'd say, you know what? We're not worried about that. You got your new palace in Arlington Heights. We're going to put a second team in Chicago. You're still the charter franchise. I know you, listen, you're making a face. If the NFL wants it, they will have it. The question is, do they want it bad enough? Now, that I'm not sure about.
When you were gone, Mallory, you talked about your hiatus. I made the bet with Hoodie. I made the long-term bet. I said we will not get a second team in Chicago in our lifetime. I think we made it till we're like 70.
Maybe Tyler's lifetime. Maybe in Tyler's lifetime. Maybe. Huh?
Howard and Skokie, you're on, or make that Howard and Richton Park. I'm so used to Howard and Skokie. Howard and Richton Park, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller, biggest fan you got. Let's get a second team in here. We've been trying to get rid of the Hallises. Let's get rid of them.
What if I were to tell you that when they do go to Arlington Heights and they do build the stadium, that they will sell the team to one of these mega owners, one of these Jeff Bezos-type owners?
They would never do it. They would never sell.
Well, you don't think so. You think they're keeping the team?
They'll keep the team until four more generations.
Okay. There's Howard and Richland Park. A lot of people believe that will be the time to sell. And what, it came out today in Forbes that they're the sixth in all of American sports?
In all of
sixth
football.
Sixth NFL. Eighth
overall. Most, yeah. Right. Sixth in the NFL, and they don't own the stadium.
That's why a team would want to be in Chicago, though. You don't even need to own the stadium, and look at how lucrative it is for the Bears.
But again, like, what new owner is saying, you know what I want? I want a lease from the city of Chicago for my stadium.
Listen, would you rather be in downtown Chicago, or what are your options, I guess? True. What other cities, you know?
What's the next market to get a team?
I don't know.
It's going to be one of these, like, upstart towns, like a Raleigh, no, Nashville,
they're pushing Austin. They want London, or they want something overseas. They want that market.
Another team in Texas, Austin, Texas, you were saying, Tyler? Like, you got Nashville. Nashville's already there. You already got Vegas. Vegas was a team that we were talking about for a while. You don't want to go back to St. Louis.
The way that ended with the lawsuit. And no, they're not going back to St. Louis, I promise.
Larry in Park Ridge, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Larry?
Well, first of all, Sylvie, I'm really glad you're doing well as a survivor myself.
Thank you, and congrats to you.
Thank you. It's we know what that's about. But I can't agree with you more on how much this is just ludicrous that she's making a last-ditch effort, if you want to call it that, when out in Arlington Heights, they'll own the property, they'll own the parking and the concession, and they'll, you know, give back to the park district. It's not to mention the roof. I mean, there's just no comparison.
Larry, thank you. Appreciate the phone call and keep on doing well. It just reminds me of, it always reminded me of, what movie was it? Say Anything with John Cusack holding up the boombox. But then she's ripping them too. She's yelling stuff and you still suck. Adrian in Wakanda, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Adrian?
Yeah, how you doing? I just heard her talk. I'm just beyond frustrated with her. The Bears should just continue to move to Arlington Heights. Chicago's a hot mess. I haven't been to the city. I used to work out in Michigan Avenue. I haven't been out there. I don't want to go back out there just to get shot and mugged. You know, she has a focus on getting rid of crime before she moves in another city or another team. You know, she has a focus on that. And lastly, she was talking about, you know, putting some college teams in there. Once again, you know, I went to college in the city, and I do not want to go back in the city until that thing is fixed. There's no way. I have friends that are moving just because they keep getting mugged. Why do you want that?
I don't think everyone. I mean, look, I've seen better days. I'm not going to rip the city like that. I do think that they could do college football games 8-9 times a year. I think people would want to play in Chicago if they don't get the Bears. And I don't think you need to build a $2.2 billion dome stadium to do it. I think there will be many teams who would want to play here every year.
Were you encouraged at all by when you asked her about how difficult it is to get down to Soldier, that
yes,
she seemed
that she's acknowledging
to
it.
Sympathize with exactly what you were talking about, and the hope is that if they do have some type of renovation project, that will be addressed.
I always think about that. We're like, hey, have the politicians done what we've done around Soldier? Do they know what it's like to walk out of there and to head back north and to be herded through these small sidewalks underneath the bridges to weave up? You can't walk on the grass, and you got to weave back. Then you got to go up and
it gates up everywhere. You can only go in these small areas to get out. Listen, at the very least, she acknowledged what you told. You laid it out, and you said this is never fun to go to, and she agreed with you. So at least that's encouraging.
She can handle that. You could work on that now. The Bears will still be here for 5 or 6 more years, even if they go to Arlington Heights, however long it takes to build. Dave in Indy, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dave?
Sylvie, how are you?
We're good.
Hey, I just want to tell you before I get into my point, I moved here 3 years ago from Indianapolis, and I cannot tell you how much I thoroughly enjoy listening to you. You've made the transition from Indianapolis Sports Radio to Chicago Sports Radio an easy transition for me, so thank you so much for that.
Means a lot, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, and I was listening to you talk to Lori Lightfoot, and I'm just getting so frustrated with the approach that she's taking, you know, for the simple fact that she's going to call the Bears out and say they don't got it. It's just how delusional she is and disconnected from the fact that the city of Chicago doesn't have it either. And her only fix to that is to come out and raise the taxes to get it funded. And, you know, I love the city of Chicago. It's why I moved downtown. I live right across from Gibson's and Newberry Plaza, and I love the city. But when other callers call you and say she needs to focus on the crime and the mass exodus that's happening in this wonderful city of Chicago, you know, it's a problem. And for her to be that arrogant and that pompous and to challenge the Bears on moving, it's like she didn't see that they were the fifth or seventh most profitable or valuable franchise in the NFL. You don't think they got options? like, how disconnected from your fan base do you have to be? Like, what a joke. And I feel so sorry for the Bears fans because it's a great franchise, and that's the leadership you have trying to keep your team in the city of Chicago. And Sylvie, keep this in mind. She's not only responsible for the mass exodus, she's going to be responsible for losing the Chicago Bears. And if she gets reelected, I just don't know if I can even feel sorry for Bears fans anymore. But that's my take.
All right, Dave. There you go. I don't want to get too political on this. We're a sports show, but I understand the pain. As if that's wooing, show me what ripping would be. We'll talk to Bleck and Abdallah about it. They're very passionate about this topic as well. They're in studio with me coming up next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Sanctuary Golf Course, home of the $39 Wednesday special. That includes golf and your cart. For tee times, go to golfsanctuary.com.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Can you believe Waddle won the lottery and that's why he didn't show up?
Where's our tickets?
He got it at the Speedway in Des Plaines.
I thought he'd... that's the closest, right? To Chicago? Than it's ever been? Don't think anybody big is ever going to win it from like a big city. Like, I don't think any large jackpot like that is going to win in a major city.
How do you know that, like, the person who won it or the group that won it don't listen to us regularly?
Well, then, you know why? Yeah. You know how I know? Because I'm still here. And I don't have any money. That's how I know.
Well, they got to get their I's dotted and T's crossed. They got to hire the lawyer.
I don't have any DMs.
And like, get it all done before they reach out.
Well, you think a listener's just going to offer you some cash because he listens?
Yeah.
Or she listens?
Yeah, here you go. Thank you for Zoo News.
Someone who called in on Friday for All Calls Welcome, and then they went to the Speedway in Des Plaines, and they bought their ticket, and you were the good luck charm.
Yeah.
And so they want to spread the wealth.
Yeah, they use the numbers 6, 630, 7, 7.
I think 6 was in there. Wasn't 6 in there?
8. All the times we could possibly be done with the show.
Jesse was talking about 14, I think, was in there.
All right. I mean, yeah, I would love some money. I like money. I'd like more of it.
I would love some money.
I would love money.
So, so you guys are done. Everyone's done. Waddle won, and no one's showing up. Beller's taking off. Tyler's taking his mill. They're all gone. It's just me and Abdallah now. We're going.
No. It's just Waddle. We didn't. This isn't. Because right. I know he didn't show up today.
There was the pact beforehand. You guys are going to split it.
Yeah. Where's my money, Waddle?
Everyone's going to split it.
Yes. When we went in as a team, the other agreement was if you bought it with your family, like, and it wasn't part of the team play, you would get $250,000.
Okay.
$1 billion.
Yeah, it's a nice consolation prize.
He can give us each a couple mil out of a billion.
So how's the mayor? Is the mayor doing
the mayor
good?
The mayor was interesting. I feel like people make the comparison. It is like talking to Michael Wilbon, where I don't understand either.
Did you say traffic is a bunch of junk? It's a bunch of junk.
She did at least acknowledge that it sucks getting in and out of there.
She
said you're 1,000% right. I talked about going south when you want to go north, that you know, whether you want to go in as a pedestrian or go out as a pedestrian, or you want to get there and you're leaving from State Lake and it's a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
Whether you go to Columbus or you go to Lakeshore Drive to get off at 18th Street to go through all the cones and everything like that just to get to the South Lot. And she agreed with all that. Now, she did... I don't know if you heard this part. She brought up, how are the Bears going to get $4 or $5 billion to build a stadium? I said, quite honestly, how's the city going to get $2.2 billion?
She didn't want to say the words taxpayers, but it will be taxpayers because that's how you fund.
No, thank you.
Funded in a city.
Hard pass.
And you pay taxes in the city.
Hard pass.
And
we're good. Thank you.
You pay for season tickets and you're going to pay for the stadium as well.
Thank you for your efforts in coming on the Waddle and Sylvie show, but no thank you.
I did like that they got an agreement done with Lollapalooza, and that's going to be around for another 10 years. I like Lollapalooza. I like that it's in the city. She mentioned it. We're the third largest market in the country. We should have a major festival in this city. It generates a ton of money for the city. People come from all over the world for it. Like, it's a good thing to have that stuff here.
Who rages against Lolla, though?
Oh, like, olds.
suburban.
I'm old. I know. I like that a lot.
City people don't like. Like if you're on Instagram or TikTok and you're just scrolling through the feed or whatever, the popular thing is to make fun of kids coming in from the suburbs to go to Lollapalooza. It's like, okay, shut up, move out of the city then if you don't like it.
Sylvie, to be fair, this weekend was a complete blank show in town as far as traffic.
Okay.
Getting anywhere, you know, even the highways from the suburbs to get close to the city were
then
all
move
messed
to Montana.
Up.
I saw the red line, like
move
the red line.
Montana.
You couldn't.
If you don't like living in a city, all these things you call with the city.
That wasn't my opinion. I was just saying why people dislike it.
You could want Lala here and still say that the city was a blank show and be correct.
Yeah, and for the weekend, traffic sucks.
And I'm not moving to Montana.
You can move to Montana if you want to.
I like Lala here, but I was not coming down to the city this weekend.
Right.
Oh, I mean, like,
if I had a choice, I wasn't coming down.
As someone who loves music, it's great. I got to see a couple shows this weekend. I got to see Lollapalooza on Thursday and Friday. Like, it's fun.
See, you taught me, Abdal was the original guy who taught me that Lala not only brings the big acts to Lala, but they also have all these sideshows.
Yeah.
And is that where I saw you and JR
going to? Last night. Yeah, we saw Turnstile. They're a band that is coming to the Aragon in a couple months. I don't know if they sold it out or not, but they've definitely played a sold-out Aragon before, and that place, Subterranean, it holds like, what, 300-400 people? That place was insane last night. And that's the beauty of Lollapalooza. Green Day played the Metro on Friday night.
How are you up that late?
What do you mean, how was I up that late?
What time did the concert start? Do you know what time this started?
11.
Sylvie?
I got home at like 1.
What time did they go on?
Midnight. There was an opener that went on at 11 and the headliner went on at midnight.
What is wrong with you? It was a Sunday night. It's a school night.
Who cares? What do I have to do?
You were out past midnight?
What do I have to do?
What?
I didn't get home till like 1:15.
You got to be ready to produce, Carmen and Yurko, in the morning.
Ready to produce.
Are you ready to do a show in 5 minutes?
I'm ready.
I don't know. You look sleepy.
We only have half an hour.
You look like you need a nap.
I can sleep at 7.
There's been two friends of mine who have said, hey, after dinner, let's go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked at them and I go, dude, there's no second stop for me. I'm at home at 10:30 and I'm happy.
We went to watch the late local news. We went to brunch at a place on Southport and I got home at like 1:30 and I was like, well, what am I going to do for 8 hours before I leave for this concert? It was great. It was fun. I mean, I'm either going to be sitting at home watching TV till 1 a.m. or I'm going to be at a concert till 1 a.m.
Did you get kicked in the head?
I did not. I think JR got kicked in the face a couple times. I'm not kidding you.
Good thing for the beard.
I mean, check out, it's on Twitter. It's on Instagram at Adam A. Abdallah.
Getting kicked,
he was way up in the front. Like, that dude was front row. At one point, he was on the stage because the very last song that they played, they go, all right, everybody come up on stage with us. And everybody decided to go up on stage at the same time. It's one of these shows where it's a hardcore show. And what that means is basically they have stairs on the sides of the stage and you can just run up and jump into the crowd.
That's a hardcore show.
That's what people were doing all night. The whole place was a mosh pit. It hurt. It was sweaty, and it was sore.
I love these stories.
It's great.
JR is like a kid again, too.
Well, he took the day off. I mean, listen, I'm here.
It's fair. You are here.
All right, well, I can't wait to listen. No swearing, Black. No swearing today. You hear me?
I'll try.
That's on Chase.
Thanks to Mayor Lightfoot. Also, thank you to Dan Graziano. Great work by Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller. Waddle was gone today. I don't know where.
Tomorrow.
But he'll be back tomorrow at Navy Pier. And Black and Abdallah coming up next. Have a great Monday night. It's ESPN 1000.